That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Wake up and learn something new every day. Class is in session. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brady and Walker. It's Halloween trick-or-treating. Brady will be handing out vegan popsicles, and I'll be handing out Labatt Lights tonight. That's how.
Just sirloin burgers without the bun, right at the door, on a plate. Make it more like a barbecue than a Halloween, really.
And children, would you like some trail mix? Shut up, Brady.
Yeah, let me ask you quick. No, honestly. No, it's a fructose, no fructose, and high fructose corn syrup. Do you believe... I heard a stat this morning driving in. Still, we got like 38% of North Americans believing in ghosts. And do you have any belief in that whatsoever? You just went to Salem, Mass a little while ago.
I did go to Salem.
Where there's all, you know.
It is the Halloween. Oh, can I say
like,
this?
I have no belief in any of this stuff. And I feel like I'm an outsider.
Well, I don't know what belief is. Do you believe in aliens?
No.
What if you get abducted? Then will you believe? I don't know. Like
by a non-alien? No.
You don't believe until you believe.
Doesn't sound fun.
Let me say really quickly about Halloween. So I did go to Salem 2 weeks ago, which is like, you know, there's the witch trials and they burned people and hung people and all this. And it was very quaint. Like we took the ferry there from Boston, and
does sound quaint.
It was also
use that word more often when talking about the Leafs, will you?
It was also
what was
very
that kind of quaint game last night.
It was also very sad because you go in and there's this old school, like you feel like you're in 1700, and then there's like grown men dressed as aliens taking pictures of people. It's like that has nothing to do with anything.
No, honestly, it's tinfoil hat type stuff. I'm not a big conspiracy guy. I'm not a big there's people watch. They're watching us. Every time War of the Worlds comes on, I find it fascinating. I'm like, what do they want? Water? Food? They're just destroying everything. Why be so vengeful about it? Every war starts with you either want the land, you want the oil. It's a revenge factor.
They just like anal probing. I don't know.
Sometimes alien probing is, I think, what you meant to want to say one way or the other. So it's Lisa Columbus tonight. As you mentioned, we'll talk to Scott Hartnell at 8, coming up in just a couple minutes, actually.
Yeah, he's going to call us in a couple minutes, yeah.
So, but this is, slam dunks are really tough for the Leafs, and they've played really well on the road so far. They've gotten 5 out of 6 possible points, solid wins against the Islanders and Rangers. They were okay against Detroit. Detroit's actually got out of the gate and played well. So,
well, they held them to no goals in 60 minutes. That's more than okay.
They're playing one of the weakest teams in terms of manpower because a lot of Columbus injuries. It's like school closings. We may as well list the players that are healthy. But is this a slam dunk on the road tonight?
Well, nothing's a slam dunk, but when I think of where the Leafs want to be, right? If we expect this team to compete for 7th and 8th, in the East, if that's kind of your high watermark. This feels like a big game. Bigger than, and I know people are sick and tired of them getting pumped by good teams of the ACC, but in all seriousness, you'd probably rather win tonight than tomorrow. Tonight's a big game and a winnable game.
Proverbial conference 4-pointer, unlike against Chicago, and they go out west next week, right, to Denver.
Well, it's kind of the same feeling as when Boston came in, and that's why the Boston loss was so disappointing, because they come in with, I don't want to say ragtag, but they're without Zdeno Chara, and they got guys that shouldn't be in the lineup playing in their 5-6-D spot. And even last night, right, Boston is now down Torrey Krug. He's not even playing anymore. And they go into Buffalo and have their trouble and have to win it 3-2 in overtime. The Leafs got pummeled by that Bruins team.
Yeah. Right? It's like I said, the Sabres game, tonight's fascinating. It is. We've got the game Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, beginning at 7. But it's fascinating because the Buffalo game was such a no-win scenario. By the way, joining us on the line right now, he's out to a good start in the next phase of his career. Longtime Predator, longtime Philadelphia Flyer, Scott Hartnell. Now on Brady and Walker. We were talking about Halloween just a couple minutes ago. You are way out there on Twitter, everywhere, dressed as Larry Bird. It's a great costume. We see a lot of your legs, maybe too much. Have you recycled this costume, or was this brand new Foundation Up Larry Bird?
I did do it once before. My first year pro in Nashville. People were calling me Larry, you know, all the LB and all this kind of stuff. So I went and got a costume and pulled it off a bunch of years ago, and just thought I'd bring her back this year.
It's pretty good. What else was good? I don't know if we saw any other pictures circulate. Was it a team party or?
Yeah, we had a few drinks and a lot of laughs actually, and there was obviously the young guys or whatever that go to the costume store and pick out a ninja or some simple costume, but there's a couple really 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 good ones that put a lot of time and thought into it, so it was quite the time.
So it's hard to tell when a player like yourself, we identified you so much with Nashville, then so much with Philly, and such a big part of going to the Cup Finals. Does a player ever of your ilk ever think, of course this is the last stop, of course it'll end here, and whenever it ends, who knows? But does a player ever get that last stop mentality, and has it been a little bit of culture shock, a little bit of getting used to over the last several months?
Yeah, no, it's, Philadelphia, the market that's in. Obviously, I love the fans there, love playing there. And I thought, signing a couple of years back that, that probably would be my last home. But, I think deep down every player knows that, there's a chance, obviously, that you could go somewhere else and put on another jersey. And I didn't think that mine would be right this summer, but it happened. And, I'm just enjoying the opportunity to be a Blue Jacket, to get out there and fight for wins every night.
You seem to have a really good attitude about it, and we've seen before, and not to name names, but people have gone to Columbus, and from day one it was so obvious that it wasn't going to be a fit. And once you came to terms with, all right, that's it, and that's how the business goes, you've seemed to embrace being a Blue Jacket. Do I have that right?
Yeah, no, it is part of the deal, and I think it starts with the people running the show here now. It's the culture's changed a lot. They they demand your top work ethic every day in practice. Obviously, every game trying to fight for wins, and the players they got here, they got a good group of young guys, and I think we're one of the youngest, if not the youngest, team in the NHL right now. So it's an exciting group, and being the oldest guy on the team, I'm just happy to be here, and I guess have a little bit of leadership and how to be a pro and all that kind of stuff to teach the young guys, and hopefully lead to some wins, get in the playoffs, and obviously a Stanley Cup is something that everybody wants.
Scott Hartnell, our guest on Brady and Walker. Toronto, Columbus, of course, it's right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan tonight. Schedule maker does you no favors, but some good wins. You grab points out of California, which is not going to be easy for a lot of teams to do in that first game against San Jose. That said, you probably haven't been on too many teams that have had as many key guys injured this early on. It's never an excuse. Nobody likes to use it, but you're looking around going, wow, when we are fully healthy, which might be a while, will really be something. We got to slug it through until then.
Yeah, obviously you don't want to make excuses, like you said, and it is part of the deal, to have, six or seven of your top forwards out and your top goalie and one of your best D out, too. It's not something that anyone wishes, I think, for any team, but, we're just going to, go out there and obviously play tight defense. You got to obviously play, score some goals to win, but we got to, can't let in five goals a game and expect to win here like we did the last couple games. So defense is key, but we're it's time for guys to step up. I got to put the puck in the net. The other guys got to step up, and it's an opportunity for some young guys to make a name for themselves here in Columbus and fight for a spot.
Scott Hartnell joins us, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How has your role changed? I mean, you've had some big seasons before. Obviously, you've scored 30 a couple of times in Philly, but you've never been a point-per-game guy, and here you are, a great start to the season. You have 10 points in 9 games. Is it just, are you more in a role to succeed in that aspect, or how has it worked?
No, you don't get opportunities to... Well, it seems like there's a guy going down every night, so we're missing a left winger or a right winger, and you get double shifted for a period and a half. And I'm not usually used to playing 20 minutes, but you get extra opportunities, you get time on the power play, and that's where you get a lot of your points as well as when you're on the power play. So you got to make the most of your opportunities, and You know, one thing I've always kind of prided myself on, and even when I was a little kid, minor hockey is trying to be the hardest working player out there in practice, and that'll correlate to games. And something that my dad put in in my psyche, I guess, right from when I was a kid, with anything, not just hockey, with baseball, schoolwork, everything. So something that I try and do, and good things will happen if you work hard. So that's kind of one of the things I want to do to pass around to the younger guys. And, if they see me slacking off, maybe they think they can slack off. And that's something I don't want to do.
Scott Hartnell, our guest, probably hits 1,000 games this year. It's been an excellent career. We wish you the best this season. Thanks for coming back on the show with us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Scott Hartnell joining us, getting up early. Leafs Jackets tonight from Columbus. The Jackets really did a number on the Leafs, 6-0. And hammered them here 6-0, a particularly despondent loss for the Leafs. But, like we said, can't even count the injuries. Nick Foligno may be a game-time decision, but Anisimov, Jenner, Wisniewski, Bobrovsky, obviously no Nathan Horton, probably for all season.
Yeah.
So they're hurting. They're hurting.
Ryan Murray just came back, right? Mm. Their former number two overall pick. He's going to play his third game tonight of the season, So that certainly helps them. But, yeah, it's been a struggle. And there they are sitting at 4-5. And if they can just kind of, muddle through until they get healthy, that's kind of the plan.
By the way, some quick an update on Viktor Tikhonov. For those who would know who Viktor Tikhonov is, legendary Soviet hockey coach. He's 84 years old. They've just rushed him to hospital by an ambulance in Russia. We were talking about Gordie Howe's health earlier. That seems to have stabilized. He's doing better down in Texas, but there's a hockey legend on the other side of the Atlantic in Mother Russia, in Viktor Tikhonov, who's been very quiet, very out of sight in the last couple decades of hockey, put it that way. But we'll try and keep you posted on that as the morning continues.
8:15, Brady and Walker, we do have a decision to make, if you will. We have tickets for tomorrow night for Toronto and the Chicago Blackhawks. Pretty good game at the ACC. Now, we've been getting a lot of pictures on our Twitter account, at Brady and Walker, some very inappropriate. Halloween costumes.
The frozen sports costumes, especially, with the guys with the hairy legs.
Sports-related right. Halloween costumes. Now, we have a decision to make, and we will, and we'll contact you. We'll tell you who we pick at 8:22 this morning. But there's been some really good, a really good Don Cherry from Ricky on Twitter. A very, very solid Jackie Moon from Semi-Pro fame.
Yeah.
And there's been a whole lot. We have a tough decision to make, and we will give away those tickets courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino coming up just in a few minutes.
Teen Wolf checked in as well. So hometown hockey in Red Deer, Alberta this weekend, 6:30. It starts on City. Flames Canadiens is the game in Montreal. Should be a good one. Brent Sutter, former Flames coach, former Devils coach, and a back-to-back World Junior gold medal champion coach joins us at 8:22.
We'll ask Brent about his former player in both Red Deer and Calgary, current Leafs captain, Dion Phaneuf. What does he think of his standing?
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Happy Halloween, 8:23, Brady and Walker. Don't forget, it's going to rain today, and it'll turn into some snow by early evening, so it's not going to be the greatest weather for taking your kids trick-or-treating tonight, but
it's going to be pretty bad, as a matter of fact.
Could be worse, though. I mean, it's been minus 25. On Halloween night before.
I hear the best weather across the nation is in Calgary tonight. It's going to be like 9 or 10 degrees, and I'm going, you guys just, honestly, the Calgarians who listen to the show deserve a break after the last 2 years.
Are you trying to get me to move back? Is that your whole plan
I'm
here?
I'm telling you, it sounds like it'll be a trip. What do you think you'd get at the Sutter household? What would happen?
Jerky. Jerky and cigarettes. I don't know.
Beef.
It's Alberta.
Holsteins.
Rogers. I don't know. Rogers hometown hockey, by the way, on City TV Sunday. It hits Red Deer, Alberta. It's a place that I spent a lot of time. And Ron McLean, of course, the host, he worked in Red Deer. That was one of his first jobs, did the weather in Red Deer.
And the World Juniors, 2 years from now, are headed there, correct?
Not
Memorial Cup.
Not even
Memorial
close.
Cup are going there.
Yes,
Memorial Cup. Okay, fine,
Cup
whatever. Same thing.
Memorial Cup next season is going to be in Red Deer, Alberta
as well.
And as a result, we needed some sort of Red Deer tie today. So what better person to have on than Brent Sutter, former coach of the New Jersey Devils, the Calgary Flames, two-time Stanley Cup winner with the Islanders. He captained the Chicago Blackhawks as well and coached, among many players, James Reimer and Dion Phaneuf in Red Deer.
A lot of silverware for Brent Sutter, and he joins us on the line now. We mentioned Calgary, Montreal, and City at 6:30. Brent, thanks for getting up awfully early and taking the time. You tell us, Red Deer's been pretty special to you. It's been pretty special to a lot of hockey players. What has made it, I guess, such a Western Canadian destination point for hockey in this country?
Red Deer's grown from about a 30,000 city population back in the mid-70s to being close to 100 now. And hockey, obviously lots of kids there play hockey, and with the major junior team in the city. You know, it's just what everyone does there. Hockey's such a big thing there, and can't really explain it. You know, you look around, hockey in our country is such a huge culture, but certainly in Central Alberta, it's certainly huge in that area.
Now, I know part of what we'll see on the weekend as part of this broadcast, Sportsnet did a big feature over the summer. They taped it with Daryl Sutter, of course, your brother, and his son, Chris, that I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy getting to know this story. Chris, of course, has Down syndrome, is such a great kid, getting to know him over the years. Tell us a little bit about Chris and what seems to be kind of an odd relationship sometimes.
I was actually playing there at the time, and Chris was diagnosed with Downs, something that's totally new to the Sutter family. But you know what? He's been such a glue to everything, and he's such a great, great young man. And he's grown up to, you know, from being just a little tyke now to where he is today. And he's a funny, funny guy, and he's a very, very compassionate young man, and obviously truly loved by everybody.
What I remember about Chris was, post-game Red Deer Rebels, he'd do his own media scrum after you or while he was done as the coach, and he did his best Grumpy Sutter post-game impression.
You know what? He just, you know, that's the way he is. You know, if Chris is at a wedding or wherever, you know, he gives a little speech. But we have a Downs boy that works with us. He started working with Rebels, and he's 16 years of age, and he's 30 years of age now, and started working with us my second year as a dressing room attendant, and Michael's a bit just like Chris. I never look at it as being Down syndrome. To me, it's always up syndrome, because when you're around those kids, they do. They lift you to a different level, and you know, you think you have a bad day, and then you're around them, and they make your day spruce up pretty quickly.
Brent Sutter, our guest on Brady Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Stanley Cup winner, former Islander great, and of course, a New Jersey Devils and Calgary Flames head coach. It's amazing. Coming from a small town, and I worked there with you guys, and now being in the big city, there's still ties, Toronto to Red Deer, and maybe it's just a small country, or hockey's a small world. But of course, James Reimer is the goalie here, and you coached Reims for a lot of years. Dion Phaneuf, you know, played with you in Calgary and in Red Deer, and is now the captain here. It's been interesting working here, Brent, because nobody gets a rougher ride than Dion, and he's been an interesting guy over the years, and he was never your captain in Red Deer, but he is here and takes a kind of the brunt from fans sometimes. How do you perceive Dion, where he is at his career right now?
Dion's a great young man, and you know, I formed a relationship with Dion, obviously, when coaching him in Red Deer, and you know, 16 years of age, he came in, he played for me, and he grew into being what he is, you know. And then I had an opportunity to coach him in Calgary, and to be quite honest, I was shocked when Dion was traded from Calgary, but that's the nature of the beast and the way it works. And you know, I've always have had a lot of respect for Dion, and I look at him as a real, real good friend. And you know, when you coach these guys in junior and get an opportunity like I did again in NHL, obviously they grow young boys to men, and people don't see that on the outside. They look at the one mistake he may make on the ice, and because he's captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he gets crucified for that. But you know, he handles a lot of minutes playing for that team, and rightly so. You know, there hasn't been a lot of success on wins and losses over the years, and being a captain of, you know, of a team in a huge market like that. You know, Dion understands that and he knows that, and that's all part of it. But as someone from the outside, I don't think it's fair. You know, and knowing Dion the way I do, it probably bothers him to some degree, yes, but I think he handles it pretty darn well, and not easy when you're in a market like Toronto. I mean, if Dion was playing, you know, in Nashville or something like that, you never hear the stuff you hear, but that's just part of playing in Canada. It's part of playing in a place like Toronto. It's just kind of the way it is. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's fair. And I think a lot of times it's not.
Well, I know you'll be on the road with the Rebels this weekend, but it's cool to see the town in the national spotlight. Obviously, it's a place that's near and dear to me, as it is to you. So thanks for making time for us today.
Yep, thanks, guys.
There's Brent Sutter joining us. Red Deer hosts hometown hockey with Rob McLean, 6:30 pregame, and a real cool Sunday night game. Calgary in Montreal. The Canadiens just got done out there last night, losing in overtime to the Vancouver Canucks, but back home this weekend, including against the Flames on Sunday night. It's on City.
Sunday night on City TV. It's interesting from Brent Sutter on Dion Phaneuf. Now, this was a guy that he coached in Calgary and was the coach when they made that big trade with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You don't have to love Dion Phaneuf, but you can't argue with the fact that they gave up nothing to get him. And I wonder, he seems to think it was very unfair, but even in junior hockey, Dion Phaneuf wasn't Brent Sutter's captain. There's a guy by the name of Colin Fraser that's won cups in Chicago and L.A. You know, and I wonder if that speaks volumes sometimes.
What did you find in the couple years after that? Because you would have been working in Calgary. What was true about the Brent Sutter, Dion Phaneuf, Flames relationship, and what wasn't? Like, what? Give me something you heard and you said, that's just, like, ridiculous, and that's not why they moved him. Because there was so much talk about turmoil and arguing and of an audible fight between Iginla and Phaneuf at one point.
Well, but it's like any, is it not like any team, any family? God, your rec team. Have you played on a hockey rec team where two guys have yelled at each other in the dressing room?
Yeah, pass the puck more.
Yeah, sure.
That kind of stuff.
It
Make
happens.
A save.
And I think stuff like that happened too. What was Dion Phaneuf known for in his early days? Highlight real stuff. He'd blow up guys in the middle. He'd take slap shots and go bar down and do it 19, 20 times a year. Mm-hmm. And he'd also be pretty bad defensively because he was a young player, right? In this whole desire to get him to play the entire 200-foot game, there's going to be some friction. And there was a thought that Dion Phaneuf got a little too big for the room in Calgary, and Daryl Sutter had to deal him, but he didn't get anything for him.
So we'll do Terrible 10 coming up at 8:43. We do need three callers for it, 416-870-0590, *590. Denver, New England, Brady Manning, a lot of people make a big deal about it. I would guess for me, and for you, I'm guessing, Arizona-Dallas as the early game might hold the most intrigue of any game all weekend. You may get more a sense what the Cowboys are and aren't, and we don't know how badly hurt Tony Romo is. That's a factor in that game. The shot he took, having to come back in, who knows how he's been able to practice in a short week, and knowing how Arizona's going to go after him. I'm way more interested in that not that Brady Manning's played out, but Arizona-Dallas is really intriguing.
Yeah, I agree. We might learn something in that game for sure. 8:33, Brady and Walker. We will give away our Toronto and Chicago Blackhawks tickets. We've been looking at your Halloween costumes on Twitter at Brady and Walker. We'll have that announcement for you next. Also, get in line, 416-870-0590. We'll play the Terrible 10 for Bodog.net. Bills tickets and cash up for grabs next.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm all just a
good boy to go. 8:42, Brady and Walker. We have made a decision. We give away tickets, Toronto tickets, every day as courtesy of the Brady Walker's Ticket Window, Great Blue Heron Casino.
Sometimes now, on the street to strangers. They overflow our pockets. We got to go deeper in our pockets than the Chevy guy did to get those keys for the Colorado truck.
Awful. So today, because it's Halloween, we did something a little different. We've been taking pictures of sports-themed Halloween costumes on our Twitter account, at Brady and Walker. So we've made a decision. Congratulations go out to John.
Go congratulate with your teammates.
Go congratulate with your teammates. At John Rayner, 1970. He has it's actually quite unbelievable, the costume that he has. As Grapes, as Don Cherry. That's an expensive suit. That's a high collar. That's not your natural hair color, and nicely done.
Maybe he went custom as well.
He might have, but it's worth it. You're going to the ACC tomorrow to see Toronto and Chicago. Speaking of Grapes, Grapeline returns on Monday. If you're listening to Brady and Walker coming up Monday, we will have Brian Williams and Don
Legendary
Cherry.
Show. Brian Williams is always nice to us, always listens to the show. Tells us when he hears good stuff. So we're happy to have Grapeline back. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm Andrew Walker. He's Greg Brady. Our producer, Ryan Favreau,
is congratulate with your teammates.
Go we were trying, Aaron. Sorry about that.
It is the Terrible 10, courtesy of Bodog.net. Your chance to win Buffalo Bills tickets and some spending money to the tune of $150. Now, Favreau's still leading the way. We pick 10 games straight up. Gotta say, though, I'm closing the gap. I've won 2 weeks in a row. Keep that in mind, callers.
And no one has picked you. They just end up with you, and they win.
I know. Listen, I won last year, and now I'm on a hot streak. So I'm the guy to pick.
You're sort of the Baltimore Orioles from June 1st on. Just kind of closing the gap, and eventually you'll run away with things in general.
Yeah, that might happen.
Be one of life's big winners. Let's start in Miami. San Diego at the Dolphins. The Chargers have lost two straight divisional games. And they have this quick turnaround. Don't forget the clocks go back. I don't know if you guys know that. The clocks go back also. So it's a West Coast team playing in the East, plus it's an hour. Spring forward, fall back. Anyway, San Diego, Miami, Sunday. Walker.
I don't know what you just said, but I will take Miami. I think this is a bit of a trap game for the Chargers.
Ryan.
Yeah, I'm doing the same. Hot weather won't bother San Diego, but that early start time always does. Dolphins have a good defense. Tight win for Tannehill and company.
I will kill you.
How am I supposed to make up an 11-game deficit when we all agree I'm taking Miami? Because, 10 a.m., that body time transition. Miami's very unpredictable, very up and down, but yeah. I'll take the Dolphins. Let's go Jacksonville in Cincinnati. The Jags are going to win more than one. Well, I can't say that for sure, but may not be in Cincinnati this weekend.
No, people are all down on Cincinnati, but they still don't lose at home. It is very true. They will beat the Jags this weekend. Upsets are going to happen, just not in this one.
Ryan?
Who's down on them? I picked them to win last week. They won. That was one of the few ones I got right. And, of course, they'll beat Jacksonville.
The division's hard to figure right now because they're 4-2-1, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, 5-3. Blake Bortles, we like him. We thought he'd be progressive for Jacksonville. He's turning into a turnover machine. 5 picks the last 2 weeks. There'll be more.
You should take the Jags.
On Sunday. No, I can't.
You should.
Yeah, you're trying to put me 12 games back instead of 10 games back. Third game on our list, Tampa's in Cleveland. The Browns, like we said, the AFC North. Hold on a minute. They might not be the weak brother/sister anymore. They're 4-3 hosting the Buccaneers.
Cleveland fans have to be really happy where they are. And all of a sudden, boy, we have a chance to move to 5-3. Tampa's no good. And then the wind comes out of the sails. Bucks win.
Nope. Oh, God! Oh, God!
Favreau, want to go with the home team here then?
Yes, I can't pick Tampa. I think this is a dangerous game for Cleveland, but they've proven to be okay, and Tampa's an awful team. Browns.
Yeah, going Cleveland as well. Let's go Washington, Minnesota. Washington's on the short week. Minnesota's had huge problems scoring, and we go back to that Buffalo game a couple weeks ago, quite obviously, and just the 19 points. They did win in overtime, but a defensive touchdown against the Buccaneers. Can the Vikings do it at home against Washington? Maybe RG3, Walker.
I had more trouble picking this game than any game this week, and I am going to take the home team. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I'm thinking this is like a 17-16 type of game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think RG3 probably back, right? But I don't think that matters. Minnesota's not good, but they fight and they stick around. And I think at home they find a way to win.
I think Minnesota does too. I think they just squeeze this out with Teddy Bridgewater. Bad karma from the Washington PR guy. I mean, forget the name and everything.
No means no.
Yeah, for the ESPN Deporte interview. Jets are at the Chiefs. The Jets will start Michael Vick. Maybe no team with more turmoil, and they're 1-7, so slam dunk Chiefs, any way they could lose.
Well, yeah, I'm not picking an upset here, and I love my upsets, Kansas City.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tighter than people think, but you got a dumb team on the road against a smart team at home. Take Kansas.
Yeah, it's
City.
A huge number. It's one thing to give away double-digit points, but this is a straight-up game we play, and we got to take Kansas City. Philadelphia-Houston is really interesting. Philadelphia, what? They're a play or two away. They're a bounce or two away from beating Arizona. So it's not like Arizona is definitively better. Here come the Eagles into Houston to play your favorite player ever in any sport, J.J. Watt and the Texans, Walker.
Well, yeah, I mean, your take is J.J. Watt's not very good. So
that's not what I've said.
Good take.
No.
Philadelphia is an overrated team, but the public continues to back them. I'm taking Houston at home.
Well, I watched that whole stupid Philadelphia game. They were the better team. They should have won, but they're dumb.
He doesn't think they're better than Arizona.
No, I don't.
Well,
no, he doesn't.
I don't think they are better, but they were the better team than if they just stopped playing dumb. And I think they have enough skill that they should win on the road here in a tight
one. I got to take Philadelphia. Nick Foles is slumping. He's bad. He might be a worse than average NFL quarterback.
Would you rather have Nick Foles or Cam Newton, real quick?
But I... Foles. God, just Foles, but just barely. It's I think both guys are, neither of them are top 15 quarterbacks right now. But I do think they have enough. I do think they have just enough. And their defense needs to say something. Houston's still rolling with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Arian Foster, down year. St. Louis, also I'll take the Eagles. St. Louis, San Francisco. I'm joking about the down year. Not that he's good as DeMarco Murray. That's the second best running back in his state. St. Louis and San Fran, you got the 49ers.
Yes, 49ers for me.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's move it right along. Maybe the game of the weekend. Arizona takes a very impressive 7-1 record into 6-2 Dallas, Texas. Walker.
It is a really, really tough call here, and I like Arizona. I think they're legit. But from what I'm reading, Tony Romo's going to be able to play, and they need to come back strong after a kind of a subpar loss to Washington. I will take the Cowboys, but again, another tight one.
Yeah, who would have thought top two teams maybe in the NFL, right? I hate Arizona. I'm cheering against them. And I think if Dallas wants to prove they are for real, they get a win no matter who's up at quarterback. I say Dallas wins by a touchdown.
I hate to see a player injured like Romo. It was all coming together nicely for him. They got to get back to giving DeMarco Murray the rock a lot more than 19 times.
If Brandon Whedon starts a quarterback, you might see an NFL record for handoffs to DeMarco Murray this weekend.
He had 28 carries, 29 carries, and 31 carries the weeks previous to that. Hopefully Dallas is smart enough. I am going to take Arizona, though, on the road in a squeaker.
Brutal!
Over the Dallas Cowboys. Denver and New England. It's Manning versus Brady. Ah, God, last year's game was a Sunday night classic. This one, a 4 o'clock game on CBS, Walker.
Yeah, last year was back and forth, and what an epic game. This year, the Denver Broncos are a much, much, much better team. Go with Peyton Manning and the Broncos this week.
They've been the better team before, and you know what they do? They walk into New England when it's rainy out like it is. They're going to lose. Patriots always win.
No, I always pick the Patriots against the Broncos. Personal preference. I'm not taking them this weekend. I think that Denver
rainy
looks like...
Rainy and cold.
Denver is so much better. So much better than they were 24 months ago and marginally better than they were 12 months ago. Baltimore-Pittsburgh is actually an underratedly good Sunday night game because it matters. Both teams are 5-3, and the Steelers have got big-time momentum in their favor after waxing Indy. Walker.
There was three games that were really tough this weekend. It was the Minnesota game, it was the Arizona game, and it's this Baltimore game. I am going to go with the Ravens. I think they're a better football team.
Yeah, this is so intriguing. I have no idea. I continue to think that the Ravens are not as good as people think. They didn't win last week in Cincinnati. Steelers are rolling, and they're good in these night primetime games. Big Ben is. Steelers win.
Yeah, they played in that Thursday night game right after the Ray Rice video release. The Steelers were struggling to move the football, and the Ravens won easily. I don't see that this weekend. Pittsburgh now, they score all the time. And no, there's not going to be 522 yards for Big Ben and 6 touchdowns, but there will be enough, and they're at home. So I like Pittsburgh. Let's go to those phone lines, see who people like amongst our picks. Mike and Stony Creek, happy Halloween. Whose picks do you hate the least? Who do you want to go with this weekend?
I think I'm going to go with you, Mr. Brady.
Thank you very much. Are you dressing up for Halloween as a winner? Because you just You just cinched it right there.
As opposed to your costume, which is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Brady hasn't won all year.
I'm dressed
That's
up
a bad pick.
like a Holstein cow. Mark in Mississauga, you're on with us. Whose picks do you go with, Ryan or Andrew?
Well, you guys all took Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you I'll go with
none of the above. Yeah. All right.
Why is nobody picking me?
I don't know who our third caller is.
I win every week.
Steve is going with Walker. I'm
shut it, pal.
I don't know what I'm going to be, and I don't know what Walker's going to be. I think you have terrible picks this week. I think you're headed to a 2-8. Ryan Favreau. Yeah.
Oh, the guy who went 10-0 once this week.
I think Walker and I should give you permission to change some picks before 1:00. That's how bad they
are. Brady, you go 3-7 every week.
I like all these. I know. And I picked Carolina last night.
Got a green sweater on and yellow pants.
Idiotic.
How do you go 30% in the season straight up? It's just incredible.
It's a gift.
It's hard to do.
So don't forget Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night. Blackhawks, Taves and Kane in to take on the Maple Leafs. Ottawa, Boston's on City. Winnipeg at Madison Square Garden on the main Sportsnet network, Buffalo, Pittsburgh on Sportsnet 1, Washington, Tampa on FX, and the late game Vancouver, Edmonton. Have a great time. Let me know if there are trick-or-treaters. I might be by about
no trick-or-treaters. There'll be 9:02
p.m.
See you Monday.
See you Monday.